is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, dear friends, I want to give you a warm welcome to our church service today. We're continuing our series on the rapture controversy. I just pray and trust that these messages have been a blessing to you and looking at Bible truth, as we always do here. You know, some people ask me, Tex, what is your opinion on this or that? And when it has to do with the Bible subject, I simply say, well, here's what the Bible says. Because it's not opinion at all. It's not my interpretation. It's just what the Bible has to say. A lot of people find fault with the Bible. And I've discovered throughout my life that people who hate the Word of God, despise it, do their best to change the words of it. I'm confident that most of the new versions of the Bible are being printed not only to make money, because they copyright their false new Bible versions, but many times it's because the translators didn't like what the King James, the only true Bible, had to say, and they decided to change it. I know Dr. Virginia Mollenkott, who was the word stylist for the New International Versions Translation Committee, she didn't like what the Old Testament said about what happened to the homosexuals at Sodom and Gomorrah. So she just changed it around, changed the words. A lot of people have changed the words of God. You know, Jesus had some harsh things to say about the unrighteous wealthy of this world, the rich, who do not use their wealth for God's kingdom, but for their own selfish purposes. Jesus has a lot to say about them. I've noticed the new versions take a lot of that verbiage out, take a lot of it. You know, the Lord's Prayer has a tremendous line asking Jesus to deliver us from evil. Would you believe that many of the new versions of the Bible take out that verse? You see, there are evil people who don't want to be delivered from evil. And they say, well, I don't like this verse. I detest it. I'll just strike it out of God's Word. I have a copy in my library of the Thomas Jefferson Bible. Now, I love Thomas Jefferson. I'm a patriot as much as anybody else, and he did great things for our nation, no doubt about it. But he wasn't a Bible-believing Christian. Well, he did believe in the Bible. In fact, he published a Bible, the Thomas Jefferson Bible. You won't find it around very much today. It's only published by a few quaint groups. And I think for their own agenda, because they despise Christianity, they enjoy publishing the Thomas Jefferson Bible. You see, Thomas Jefferson didn't like everything that the New Testament had to say. There were some things Jesus did that he didn't like. Thomas Jefferson supposed that Jesus was a man of love and goodness and mercy, which he was. But he didn't like the Jesus that was harsh and judgmental. He didn't like the one who overturned the table in the temple of the money changers. He didn't like the Jesus who said, you know, ye serpents, ye vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? He didn't like that. I suppose that Thomas Jefferson didn't want to think that he might end up in hell, that he was one of those serpents because he had rejected God. And he said, I don't like these verses. Surely our Lord never said these things. And so he took his scissors and he cut out the passages of the Bible that he didn't personally like. And he came up with sort of what I call the Reader's Digest version of the Bible. You know, you're reading along and it's missing this or that verse. Because that doesn't show a loving Jesus. You know, Thomas Jefferson would be right at home in today's America, wouldn't he? Most people, that's what they do. I get letters from people that blast me. Tex Mars, you bad, bad person. You bad, bad man. How dare you say such things? Why, Jesus would never do these things. Jesus was so loving. He loved everybody. He would not send people to hell. He wouldn't be judgmental like you are, Tex Mars. Sometime I write him back, if I have time, and I say, well, what do you think about Matthew such and such? What do you think about the Gospel of John where Jesus did such and such? And you know, they never answer me. I've just blown their whole theory of Jesus. You know how I did it, friends? By releasing to their attention the real Jesus. You see, friends, we don't need to concoct or make up a Jesus. There are plenty who will do that out there. I once put out an audio tape, and I called it 1,001 Jesuses. They're making them up and concocting stories about Jesus every day. I call them the lying gospels. And did you know that if you leave out something from the gospel, you're a liar? You say, well, I left some good parts in there. That's okay. No, 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 no. If you remove one iota from the Bible, well, I don't even want to tell you about your destiny. Did you know that God has a punishment for that? You can read about the plagues and the horrible things that happened to the most wicked of folks in the book of Revelation. And that's what will happen to you, the book of Revelation says, if you take out any part of the Bible. Thomas Jefferson, I sure hope he repented, because I sure like what that man did as a patriot. But is Thomas Jefferson Bible? Well, I keep it in my library as an example of foolish behavior by a humanly great man, but not a man of God. Now, I expect to get a few letters from people that say, oh, how dare you say those things about our nation's founder, Thomas Jefferson. Well, that's just the way it is. I've defended him. I do not believe that he fathered children from black slaves. I think that was all made up. But I know he put out the Thomas Jefferson Bible. I have a copy of it. But I'm not going to start selling them through the ministry unless I decide to show you an example of man's foolishness. Now, we're going to continue our series on the rapture controversy today. There's a lot of foolishness going on about the rapture. A lot of people don't believe in God's words. Well, I tell you what, I'm sorry, but they're just true. You don't have to believe me, but do believe God. And if you don't believe God, well, we're going to pray for you here at Bible Home Church. We're not going to hate you. We're not going to dislike you. You can still be our friend, but we're going to make a lot of trouble for you just by praying for you. Because that's when the Holy Ghost comes and convicts you, you see, when we pray for you. Now, if you have a loved one that needs prayer, let us pray for them. I'm telling you, it just stirs up things in heaven when we pray. It does. Not because we're such powerful prayers, but because God is faithful. He says, whatever ye ask in my name, you will receive. And you know what? We believe him here at Bible Home Church. He didn't lie. I've seen it so many times in my life. I'm the least of the saints. And when I pray, you know what? I'm just amazed he answers my prayer. As flawed and as imperfect as Tex Mars is, and I know you say, well, surely Tex Mars, you're not imperfect. You're not flawed. Why? You're wonderful. Well, thank you very much. I need people like you who are deceived as friends. No, I'm just kidding. You know, the nice thing is that it says in 1 John that if we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves. I'm the deceiver, friend, not you. If I say I have no sin. But the Bible there says in 1 John, but if we confess our sins, oh, then a wonderful thing happens to us. It says that He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If you say, I'm not a sinner, why, I've not done that much wrong. I asked a lady a few years ago, did she know Jesus as Lord? She says, well, no, I'm not a born-again Christian. I said, where are you going to go when you die? Where do you think you're going to go? She says, well, I hope to go to heaven. I'm a good person. She was a good person. And, you know, I looked at her, and I perceived that she was a good person. She may have been a better person than I was when I came to know Jesus. But she's still not going to heaven. Because it's nothing that you can do to earn heaven. Except one act, and that act is to believe in He who died for your sins. That's the only work a man can do, or a woman, to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then you don't really deserve it. God just gives it to you as a free gift. And let me tell you something. He is also going to come and catch up His saints into the air, those who remain. Yes, I do believe that. You say, oh no, Tex Mars believes in the rapture of the saints. Yes, I do. There's a lot of people teaching false concepts all surrounding this belief. And they add on Zionism and Judaism, and they add on all kind of crazy things. But let's not deny the fact that the Bible says we're going to be caught up in the air. And Jesus is coming back for those who love His appearing. And that He has prepared a mansion for you and me. Now, if you don't believe that, friends, you just don't believe the Scriptures. You say, well, when is this going to occur? Tex, I want to argue with you. I'm a pre-trib, a mid-trib, a post-trib, a wrath person. Well, you can just argue all you want to, and we'll have a lot of fun arguing. But don't deny. The last trump is going to sound. And you and I, my friends, who know Jesus, we're going to fly. Well, more on that in just a moment. I want to assure you, we'll pray for you. We will pray for you if you have needs. And we ask you to pray for us. How's that for an exchange? You pray for us, we'll pray for you. And God is on the throne. And He answers our prayers and yours. And of course, if you're led by the Holy Ghost to donate, to give your tithes or offerings to this ministry, we would so much appreciate that. But we'll pray for you if you don't send us a dime. How's that? We don't pray for those who pay for it. We ask for any funds that you give us to be given on a free will basis. Nothing in return but the love of God. And I think God will reward you according to His riches in heaven. Now we're going to have our message for today of the rapture controversy. We're going to dispense with the music for now and continue with our message series, the rapture controversy.
You know, that's like Yogi Berra, the old catcher of the New York Yankees and later on the manager of the Yankees. You know, one of his most famous sayings is, it ain't over till it's over. Well, everybody laughed at him. Of course, that's sort of the obvious. Well, the Apostle Paul didn't say right here, well, the rapture won't come till the rapture comes. Well, so this is what they're trying to make you believe. Now, interestingly enough, these same people who do not believe wholly in the King James Bible instead believe in the New International Version of the Bible for the most part. And let me read to you what it says. Chapter 2, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the NIV. I hate to read from it, but I just want to show you in their own Bible what it says. The false Bible, the NIV, it says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. Even the NIV says that Jesus won't come again, the rapture won't come until first the rebellion occurs and the Antichrist comes. Those are the two events. Rebellion must come up forth first, and then the Antichrist comes. And only then will Jesus come again and gather up the saints. So you see, my friends, even their own false Bible does not support their view. Indeed, the fact is that here, amazingly, the NIV is correct, because a falling away means to fall away from something. It's to abandon. It means to revolt from something, to rebel from something. And you know, this same word, apostasia, is used elsewhere in the Bible. In Acts 21, verse 21, it talks about the that thou teachest all the Jews, which are among the Gentiles, to forsake Moses. The word apostasia means to forsake. So how could it mean the rapture of the church? We don't forsake God, and he doesn't forsake us. Listen to this, my friends. In Joshua 22, verse 22, you'll also find the same words as the King James translators translated as a falling away. Here it means rebellion against the Lord. Read Joshua 22, verse 22. You'll see the rebellion against the Lord. So what is the falling away? It's the rebellion against the Lord. The same word, apostasia, in the Greek. So here we mean apostasy from Moses, to forsake the commandments of given God to Moses, Acts 21, 21, or rebellion against the Lord, Joshua 22, verse 22. So clearly then, what we're seeing here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is that before Jesus Christ comes again, two things must occur. The falling away, the abandonment of people from the true word of God. And friends, that is occurring today, isn't it? I mean, the very fact that I have to give you a sermon today about this subject, the rapture controversy, showing you all of these false teachings whirling about, prove to you there is a falling away from the true word of God. There can be no doubt then the Antichrist will not be far behind. But praise God, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ will also be not far behind. I'm convinced of that. I've gotten correspondence from people that say, Tex Mars, I listened to your tape. I still need proof. I still need evidence that the rapture is in the Bible. Well, as I said, of course, the word rapture is not in the Bible. But the rapture is. You know, sometimes you can describe things. You know, I could say, well, now, you know, something, you know, I could describe a tree in great detail, and then I can ask you, what is that? And you'd probably say, well, that's a tree. But I've never used the word tree. Well, the Bible describes in great detail what's going to happen. Now, we as human beings like to get a fancy word and fix on it, and for some reason or another, people came up with rapture. I remember some years ago, Bishop Earl Polk, he's a false teacher in the charismatic ranks, and he was on Trinity Broadcasting Network, and he proclaimed up and down that he believed strongly in the rapture. But he was challenged on that because in one of his books, he had said he did not believe in what had been taught about the rapture. So he was challenged and said, what do you mean you say you believe in the rapture, but here in your book you say you don't believe in it? He said, well, you have to understand the definition of the word rapture. And the person challenging Bishop Polk said, well, what is your definition of rapture? He said, rapture is the wonderful, rapturous feeling you get in your breast when the Holy Spirit comes in and you speak in other tongues. And so, so rapture was just a wonderful feeling we get in our breast whenever we speak in tongues and receive the Holy Spirit, according to Bishop Polk. But you see, he really knew what other people mean by the rapture. But he was just trying to deceive people so he could win both sides. Yes, I believe in the rapture when he's with one group, when he's with another group. No, I don't believe in the rapture, and I guess you can please all people that way. But you don't please God that way. Well, as I told you, the only real question is not whether there is a catching up or a rapture of God's people, God's church. The only real question is when. A lot of people disagree with me on when that will be. I believe that we will not be here during the wrath of God that comes upon this world. Absolutely not. God's not going to bring wrath on his people. The judgment of God will not fall on God's people because we're a church without spot or wrinkle. We've been forgiven, friends. Why would God punish us? But there may be tribulation upon this earth, and there will be that befalls the saints of God. Tribulation by the devil. Oh, he wants to destroy you. But he can never destroy your soul. And you know, Christians throughout the centuries have always suffered tribulation, haven't they? They've always been persecuted. I tell you, we're lucky today if we're not. We're lucky. You're lucky if the IRS hasn't audited you just because you're a Christian. You're fortunate if they haven't come down on you and accused you of things you didn't do. You're fortunate if your children are spit upon or not spit upon in school. You're lucky. You're blessed by God. But listen, those days may end very soon because there have been eras and times and periods in the annals of human history when Christians have been hated and despised and vile things have been done to them. You say, when did that ever occur? Friends, you better read the history of the Christian church. The Romans and the Jews. Read what Paul said, what the Jews did. They lynched Christians. Yes, they did. Mobs of people stirred up by the Jews attempted to kill the Apostle Paul. One time they had to take him, hide him in a basket and put him over the walls of the city. They were seeking to kill him. Of course they'll do that to you. Jesus said, you know, the servant is not greater than the master. If they kill me, what do you think they're going to do to you? That was the words of Jesus. Jesus said, they will kill you and thinketh they do God service. They'll kill you, my friends, and think they're doing God a great service. It will be a great service to their God, Lucifer. Well, listen, I want to read to you what Paul said. I didn't read this last week, and I was remiss, but I just ran out of time. I've only got so much time in a program, but listen to this. I want you to know from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. Boy, what a picture and an image of the coming rapture of the church. Paul writes, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Oh my, the resurrection is a fact, my friends. And God will resurrect you from the grave. Verse 15 says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Did Paul say it was his opinion? No. Did he say, I think this is going to happen? No. He says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. What that means is simply this, friends. He says, I say this to you, and it's true by the word of God, that all those who are alive, and if you're still alive and you're remaining when the Lord comes again, you're not going to go before those that are dead. They're going to go before you. That's what he says. Now, verse 16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What happens? The Lord descends from heaven with a shout. And then there's the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Isn't that amazing, friends? The dead will rise first. And here's God. I mean, the trumpet goes off, the archangel sounding, and the Lord coming down. And it says here, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If you're alive when the Lord comes again, when the trump blows, when the archangel sounds, and the dead in Christ have arisen, my friends, you are going to be caught up together with those that have risen from the dead. And where you're going to go? You're going to go up in the clouds. Up in the clouds. And what are you going to do when you get there? You're going to meet the Lord. Meet the Lord in the air. I love those old gospel songs. James, don't you love those, Brother James? He's sitting here with me. There'll be a gospel meeting in the air. Oh, yes, there will be, friends. Let me tell you something. A meeting in the air. You will meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. After that, friends, that's it. You're going to be with the Lord forever and ever. Do you believe in the rapture? You say, well, I don't like the word rapture. Then throw it out. I'm not picky on that, my friends. It's not in the Bible. Throw out the word rapture. Yeah, I don't believe in the rapture then. I agree with you. You know what I believe in? I believe in being caught up together with the dead when they arise, up in the clouds, and there right in the air we'll be together with them and we'll meet the Lord and we'll forever after be with the Lord. That's what I believe in. I don't believe in the rapture. I believe in being caught up.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.